are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And of course, our television audience right here from Tshwane, the capital of South Africa, we welcome you there in America. Throughout Africa and Europe, we know that God is going to touch you, and today is going to be a special day for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then again, we have our Minister of Sport with us today. She's a member. Amen. We love her. Welcome. What a great woman of God. She is a phenomenal woman of God. And then also the President of Netball South Africa, Cecilia, all the way from Polokwane, I believe. So you've traveled far to be here today. We hope it's not your last visit. God bless you. May you have a very, very special day today with us. I want to tell you this morning as we begin, God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. You are valuable and you are precious. If your wife's next to you this morning, give her a big hug. Come on. I was going to be away on holiday today, but I'm here. You are here. So we are going to have a great time this morning in Jesus' name. Look at the person next to you. Give them the biggest smile that you can and say, I'm so glad you're sitting next to me. Well, who said church cannot be fun? Okay, only me and God. We're the only ones who believe that church can be exciting and can be fun. So if somebody jumps up in the service, don't get rattled because you're not in a graveyard this morning. When you go to the graveyard, nobody jumps up except if Jesus comes to the graveyard as well. Amen. So I hope you're ready this morning. I want to prepare you for the second part of 2018. And my message very simply this morning is the rain is coming. Oh, you need to do better than that. I mean, the 8 o'clock service had more excitement when I said that than many of you this morning. That means good things are heading your way. The second part of this year will be better than the first part of this year. God says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and hope. So we're going to talk about that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amos chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. Somebody say at once. So there's a lot of things going to happen, but it's going to be all good. I know a lot of things have been happening in many people's lives, and a lot of things that has been happening has been bad things, but God's going to turn your bitter into sweet. God is going to do something great in your life, okay? And everywhere you look, blessing like wine pouring over the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. I will make everything right again for my people, South Africa. Shout amen. Give the Lord a praise for South Africa in the name of Jesus, please. I declare that there is a rain coming in the name of Jesus, a rain of restoration, a rain of healing, a rain of refreshing, a rain of revival, a rain of blessing, a rain of increase in the name of Jesus. I declare the rain of God's favor and blessing will fall upon your life and will bring with it great release, great breakthrough, great deliverance, and a hastening of things in Jesus' name. I declare that God is going to restore to you the years that the locusts have stolen in Jesus' name. That's a word for somebody. Jump to your feet and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you this morning about preparing for rain. Preparing for the rain, okay? Are you ready this morning in Jesus' name? 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Amen. Tell the person next to you this morning, I see a cloud of God's blessing. I see a cloud. Somebody, I see a cloud. I see a cloud. I see a sign. I see a better future. I see a, listen. I see a better future. I see a greater future. I see a cloud. This is in the midst of darkness. This is in the midst of dearth. This is in the midst of barrenness. The prophet had to make up his mind not to look at the natural, but to look at the promise of God, at the supernatural that God gave him. I see a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now picture this. The prophet is, he doesn't go to gym every day, but the hand of God comes upon him and he does supernaturally. I want to talk to you this morning about preparing for the rain, preparing for the brighter future that God has for you. And I want to give you four things this morning. We want to talk about four things. Number one, you have to proclaim. Number two, you have to pray. Number three, you have to prepare. Number four, you have to pursue. The first thing Elijah did before he ever prayed was to proclaim. He said what God said in the midst of a drought. He said, go to Ahab and tell the king it's gonna rain. I want you to know this was in the midst of a 7-year drought. This is when there was no cloud in the sky, in the midst of barrenness, in the midst of dearth, where nothing was growing. He gets a word from God and he begins to say what God says. My dear friend, before anything will change in your life, you have to make up your mind to believe what God says. You have to agree with what God says. You cannot voice your problem. You have to get death and doubt out of your tongue. You have to speak the future you want to see. You have to declare the promise of God before you will see change in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen this morning? So before Elijah did anything, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I don't know what you're hearing this morning. A lot of people are hearing bad things. When you listen to the media, you hear bad things. When you listen to the news report, you hear bad things. When you listen to people and people's opinions, the economist, you hear bad things. You don't hear what God has for you. But Elijah heard a different sound. You want a greater future. You want the future that God has for you. You cannot agree with a naysayer. You cannot agree with a doubter. You cannot agree with a person who doesn't see a future. You have to agree with the living God. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, I hear the sound in Jesus' name. This is in a 7-year drought cycle. This is when there's not a cloud in the sky. Elijah makes up his mind to believe what God says. You're either going to proclaim your problem or you're going to proclaim your promise. You're either going to say what you see or you're going to say what God wants you to see. And Elijah makes up his mind to change his vision, because the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. You have to see the future that God promises you. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hear me very carefully, my dear friend. Your confession is the basis of your faith. Until you don't get negativity out of your mouth, nothing else will work in your life. You have to get death and doubt out of your tongue. Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to the confession of your faith, for he who promised is faithful. You can't say what you see. You've got to say something different. You've got to say, I'm going to have a baby. You're not going to say, I've not been able to have a baby for 3 years. You're going to have to say, I'm getting a job. You get up dressed in the morning and your wife may say, honey, where are you? She knows you've got no job. You say, I'm going to get a job. Come on, hallelujah. You better go get the double bed. And if you're living in a room, in a bachelor's pad with a single bed, and you believe in God for a great wife like my wife, you better get a double bed and you better prepare yourself and say, I'm getting married in the morning. Come on, I'm getting married. Come on. My blessing is coming. My future is coming. Good things are heading my way. Oh, come on. Somebody say I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You've got to get death out of your mouth, because your confession will determine the level of your life. You have to get your confession in line with God's word before your prayers will work. A lot of people who pray, but they speak negative. They pray and they speak disaster. They talk doubt. First thing that you have to do is you have to declare the word of God. Amen. Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones, God brought the prophet and he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He said, "God, you know." And what does God say to him? He says, "Prophesy to the bones, prophesy to your business, prophesy to your marriage, prophesy to your future, prophesy to South Africa, prophesy to the economy, prophesy to your tomorrow in the name of Jesus." Come on, prophesy like a God says you can. As a young white South African, I'm going to get a job in South Africa. I have a great future in the name of Jesus Christ. I have a great tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, "I have a great future in Jesus' name." When God came to Abram, the first thing God changed was his name. God said to him, "No longer will your name be Abram, but Abraham, for the father of many nations I've made you. Neither will your wife's name be Sarai, but she will be Sarah, for a mother of princes I've made her." You live by the confession of your mouth. Romans 4:17, the Bible says, we call things that be not as though they were. That's what Elijah did. He said, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It's going to rain. I'm going to get a better contract. My contract is going to be prolonged. Come on. I'm going to get a better career. I'm going to build a bigger house. Come on. I'm going to build a bigger business." You've got to declare it. You've got to proclaim it. Come on. Amen. Bafana, bafana. We're not going to talk about the past. We're going to talk about the future, a better future. South Africa, come on. We're going to talk about the great that God has for us. No matter where you are, no matter how bad things seem, no matter how dry your situation, you have to get a promise and you have to proclaim the promise. You have to declare what God says so that you can have what God promises you to have. In another story, in a severe famine, so bad was it that people ate dove droppings. Imagine. I mean, I live in a house where I've put these things that chase doves away. But if you lived in those days, you would put something that would attract doves and you would not shoot the doves. You would catch the droppings. And in the morning before little Johnny goes to school, he says, "Mom, what's for breakfast?" He says, "Dove droppings." And when he opened his lunchbox, what was for lunch? It's dove droppings. When he came home tonight, it's dove droppings again. That's how they live. They live this way. So bad was it that people reverted to cannibalism. They started eating one another's children. In the Bible, God's people. And then a man of God comes, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow." Somebody say tomorrow. "About this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel of silver and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer, the cynic, who's yet today, he doesn't want to be here, but he's yet today. He's the one who's thinking, "Well, I don't agree with what this preacher is saying." Well, that was the same cynic in the Bible, an officer on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it." So every time a promise of God comes, we can believe it or we can be cynical. It's very easy to be cynical. It's very easy to talk about your doubts and your fears and your problems. But God comes to Elijah and God says to him, "I want to change the future of South Africa. I want to change your situation. I want to change your marriage. I want to change your business. I want to change your physical body, the disease in your body." So the first thing God does is he gives you a problem and you have to believe the problem and you have to proclaim the problem. You have to declare the problem, not your problem. You declare the promise. You say what God says. And when you say what God says, you're going to see what God says. So the second thing Elijah did was what? He proclaimed and then he prayed. He prayed with a made-up mind. My dear friend, a made-up mind is a very, very powerful thing. When Elijah prayed after he had the word of God, he prayed until a cloud appeared the size of a man's hand. Very often people have a promise and then they become inactive. after you have the promise, you have to go to work. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You have to make up your mind to be like Elijah. What is the will of God in this situation? I've been diagnosed with this disease in my body, but God promises me long life. God promises by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. So what must I do? I take the promise of God and I declare it. I shall live. I will not die. And I will declare the works of the Lord. Come on, somebody fighting a physical battle, you better jump to your feet and give the Lord a praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He proclaimed the promise and then he prayed. Bible says he went and he shut himself away from everybody else and he put his face between his knees to do what? To shut out the circumstances that there is no money in the bank. You still are not pregnant. You still don't have the job. You still don't have the breakthrough. And everybody that talks to you has a negative opinion or a negative voice. And if you say what they say, you will stay in your place of drought. So Elijah separates himself and he begins to pray. And then he calls his servant. And while he's praying, he's not changing his focus. He prays and he says, go. And the servant goes while Elijah is praying. And the servant comes back, please. The servant comes back. And Elijah says to the servant, what do you see?
I see nothing.
Go again. And Elijah prays, Father, bless my business. Father, change our country. Father, bring economic reformation in our country. Father, bring us the victory in Jesus' name. And the servant comes back and he says, what do you see?
I see nothing.
Go again, he says to him. And he prays again, the third time. He's praying. He's got a made up mind. He's not going to pray and then question the will of God. He's going to pray until he sees a manifestation of the will of God. So he's praying, Father, heal my marriage, heal my situation, heal my body. He goes to the doctor. There's still symptoms in his body. And the servant comes back. He says, what seest thou?
Thou seest nothing.
I seest nothing. Not thou seest nothing, because I'm the prophet. I seest everything. Okay, so he's praying, and he come back. Hey, what, my servant? I'm telling you, I'm gonna put one of those a rack on you, like Switzerland sport him. What do you see?
I see nothing.
Go again. So what is Elijah doing? He's not being distracted. He's not looking at the circumstances. He's not looking at the natural. So the servant comes back, number five, and he says, what do you see?
I see nothing.
Can I pray for your eyes? He says, I can see. Do you know a good optometrist? Amen. Go again. Amen. So he goes again and he prays. Number six, come. What do you see?
I see nothing.
Go again. Elijah's got a made up mind. Listen, it's a key to get your breakthrough with God. You have to make up your mind. You have to make up your mind that you're going to knock until you get your breakthrough. You're not just going to knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. You're going to do more than that. You're going to knock, 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 knock. Because we still serve a God who does miracles. We still serve a God who brings deliverance. Come on. We still serve God, a God who can open a door that no one can shut. We still serve a God of impossibilities. And on the seventh time, the servant came back. Elijah was still at his face between his knees. He's praying, visualizing the will of God. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. My reality is not my determining factor. It is what God told me. I am moved by my vision. I am moved by the sound in my heart, not the sound out there. And he says to the servant, what do you see? And the servant said,
I see a cloud the size of a man's hand.
Hallelujah, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he said, go till AF. He better get busy. He better get ready, because things are going to be better in South Africa. Things are going to be better in your job. Things are going to be better in your finances. Things are going to be different. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Somebody shout, I see a cloud in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You declare the word of God, my dear friend, then you go to work. Because with every breakthrough, every miracle of God, there is a God part and a man part. You do your part, then God will do his part. You do what you can do, then God will do what you cannot do. You pray, then God will open the heaven. You sow your seed, God will give you the harvest. Come on. You forgive, God will restore the relationship. You do the possible, God will do the impossible. Hallelujah. I'm to decide what you're listening to, whose voice you are following. So number one, we proclaim Number two, we pray. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. That is written in the present continuous tense. Asking you will receive. Seeking. So you have to pray, and if nothing changes, you pray, and if nothing changes, you pray, and you hold on to a good confession. You don't change your confession. You don't begin to think, well, I better go to New Zealand because I can't get a job in South Africa. God promised you a future right here. Remember that our God is a faith God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you want the rain to fall, you want the rain to fall, you have to see the rain. You have to hear the rain, not hear your problem. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passion. He had the same emotions. I'm sure you also thought about quitting. I'm sure he always had, also had thoughts of doubt in his mind, but he never voiced them. He prayed until. And that's what you and I will have to do. Number three, you have to prepare. You believe in God for a baby, go get the baby room ready, man. Go buy the cot in the name of Jesus. Go get the pram in the name of Jesus. Go paint the wall in the name of Jesus. Come on, get ready for God to move. Get ready for God to answer your prayer. When Elijah saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now really, what does that mean? A cloud? But the cloud was enough to believe that God heard my prayer. Sometimes we want a deluge. We want a storm. But all God gives us is a little cloud. And very often, we miss the little clouds. We miss the little opportunities. Because we look for something great and spectacular, and God gives you a little cloud. Because that cloud is to trigger your faith. So that you can prepare. God said to his servant, go tell the king to prepare his chariot because the rain is coming. He prepared. If you believe that God answers your prayer, you will be in a state of preparation. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You will live with anticipation. You will be like a horse in a stall ready to run. Come on. You will live with an attitude. Something good is about to happen in the name of Jesus. I might not have a job today, but I'm going to get a job tomorrow. I might be retrenched, but I'm going to get a better job in the name of Jesus. Something good is heading my way because I have a promise. Come on. Somebody say, I have a promise. So you need to get ready for God to move in your life. You need to plow, pray and plow your field. Success happens when preparation and hard work meets. Abraham Lincoln said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Preparation. Preparing. When we started CRC back in Lady Brand, we only had 40 chairs. And we had 13 people in the first meeting. But we filled the 40 chairs. And then we moved to a place that had 90 chairs. And then we filled the 90 chairs. Then we built a little building that could see 300 people. And we filled the 300 two times on a Sunday morning. Then God called me to Bloemfontein. Started the journey. There was 300 people. Built a 1,500 seat in the first year. I remember the first Sunday we walked in there was with 226 people. And I saw the look on their faces. They were overwhelmed by the space. And I looked at it differently, that the space was an attraction to God, that God was going to fill the space. Come on. God needs an empty vessel. Sometimes things happen that empty us, but that's a good place to be, because if your attitude is right, you are going to attract God's presence and God's favor into your life. So I said to them, God's going to fill the building, and He did. We built a 4,000-seater. God filled it. Expanded it to 5,600. God fills it now four times on a Sunday. Built another 1,500-seater there that God fills on a Sunday as well. Then Pretoria, we started in Waterkloof, the little 300-seater, 400-seater. God filled that. Come on, you remember. Then we went to the 10, 1,500. God filled that 2,000. God filled that 2,500. God filled that. Then we built this building, and we've had to go to three services because God filled the first service, and now we have to have multiple services. Come on, and you're going to see by the end of the year, God is going to fill this place as well. Somebody shout amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. People say, Pastor, why are you building the building in Johannesburg? Because we have a word. We have an expectation. So, you know, when we planned this, the first building we designed here was 2,000 seats. And God said, it's too small. Then we designed 4,000 and God said, it's too small. It was like, take the limits off. Don't let your environment intimidate you. Don't let your adversity dictate. take to you. Have a vision. Habakkuk says, write the vision. Says, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. God blesses busy people, not lazy people. So get ready. Isaiah 54, the prophet says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. You know, I still tell people the sky is the limit. Somebody once told me, well, the sky can't be the limit. I said, no, because the sky is endless. When you get there, there's more sky. And when you get where you think the sky is, there's more. So your life should be limitless. You should live with expectation. You should live that anything is possible. If God blessed somebody else, why can God not bless you? If God did it for somebody else, why can God not do it for you? Come on. It's a matter of your belief. You have a word from God in the Bible. And if God did it before, God can do it again. So prepare. Then number four, pursue. When Elijah saw the cloud the size of a man's hand, what did he do? He ran for shelter. He ran as if the rain was coming. It's like the preacher, they asked him to come and pray for rain in a drought-stricken farming community. And he looked at the crowd of farmers sitting there and he said, before I pray, how many of you brought your umbrellas? Oh, we want God to move, but our hands are empty. We have no expectation. We have no preparation. We play the guessing game. You need to get your umbrella. You need to get your expectation. And then you need to pursue what God promised He's going to do in your life. Come on. Because God is not a man that He can lie. God will fulfill every promise in your life. Come on. But you cannot sit on your blessed assurance. You have to pursue what God promised you. You have to run with that energy that God gave you. Because the word of God will be tested. There will be challenges. But you have to make up your mind. I said it, I'll say it again. A made up mind is a powerful thing. When you get yourself in line with God's word and you begin to proclaim the word of God and pray the word of God and prepare like that widow woman when the prophet came and God wanted to deliver her from the drought. He said, go gather some vessels, but do not gather a few. And every empty space she gave God, God filled. It can take one person with expectation in a key position that can influence the destiny of an entire nation, because God is moved by faith. By faith. Nothing else. Sometimes we weep, we go through difficult times in our lives, and God understands that. He weeps with us. But then we have to get up again like David. We have to get off the ground. We have to proclaim again. When we knock to the ground, we don't speak death and disaster. We just sometimes have to be quiet. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in my sight. He said, set a watch, O God, at the door of my lips, because he that opens wide his mouth shall have destruction. Proverbs 6 verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So you have to watch what you say. Because if your confession is negative, nothing else is going to work. Not the seed that you sow, not the prayers that you pray, nothing is going to work. So maybe the most important thing I told you this morning is get your word in line, get your conversation in line with God's word. Say what God says. Get a promise. If you're in a drought, go to the word of God and get a promise and begin to proclaim the promise. I don't care how it seems, proclaim the promise. Because that's how faith is released. Calling things that be not as though they were. Speak the promise in the name of Jesus. And God will intervene. Then pray. Pray for your adversaries. Bless your enemies. Bless those who, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Prayer is the weapon that God gave you. Then prepare. Oh, no matter what people say. When we planned this building, we had many no's. I mean, the council gave us a no, but we were insistent. We are going to build this building. In Johannesburg, we've had many no's from the council, the municipality. And then people come to me and say, Pastor, what are we going to do? I say, we're not moved by a no because we have a yes in heaven. We don't disregard authority, but we have a yes from God. So things are going to change. God's going to give us another counselor that will give us a yes to build God's house and to build God's kingdom. Okay? If a girl says no, then brother, you better believe it's no. But if it's a no that wants to hijack the purpose of God in your life, you don't accept the no. Like you lose the job, you lose the contract, you lose the in the situation. You don't accept that. You say, Father, I know that you're in control and I want to thank you, Father. I'm getting ready. It's on my wall, Father. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to work. This is how my wife and I will grow old together. This is the South Africa I see, Father. You have a way, Father, to remove people and you have a way to promote people. God, you are in control when things seem to be out of control. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord in the midnight hour. I will bless the Lord every day of my life, no matter what season I am in, because the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Somebody, come on, give the Lord a praise in this place today because He's worthy. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, lift your voice and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're facing, but I know you're not alone. I know that God is with you and God is for you. Maybe things seem impossible, but really, you're not at a place where you eat dove droppings. You're not in a place where people are eating their children. Two ladies had an argument and they said, let's eat your child today and then we'll eat my child tomorrow. And they did. They ate the one child. It's in the Bible. And then when they came to eat the other child, the other woman hid her child. Duh. And she went to complain to the king and the king was grieved. Because that was the state of the nation. He wept for the people and God heard. And God said, tomorrow things are going to be better. Do you think God doesn't hear the cries of the people in South Africa? Do you think God doesn't hear your cry? Do you think God doesn't see your situation? Do you think for a moment that God doesn't care? But the way He delivers you and the way He transitions you, He gives you a promise. And then you have to operate the way your father operates, by faith. You have to declare the promise. You have to make up your mind. This is what I believe. And then you have to pray the promise. You have to pray. And when you go to work, things haven't changed, you pray. And if it hasn't changed, you pray. And if it hasn't changed, you pray. Because you've made up your mind. You don't go to your wife and say, well, I don't think this prayer thing works. It's not going to work. You make up your mind. What is it that you believe? And then you prepare. And you pursue God's plan, God's dream for your life, every day for your life, because God is for you. I think if Jesus appeared on the platform, people will be shocked because people see a Jesus that is a fault finder. He's not a fault finder. He's an encourager. He's a lover. He's not a legalist. Everybody was legalistic in the days of Jesus. He came differently. He came loving, caring, uplifting, providing, blessing. He's the same. Your image of God is the most important image that you can have in life because it determines what you believe. We've been so messed up by how people have portrayed God that when we go through a difficult time, it's because of something we did. God says, no, 2,000 years ago, I sent my son to die in your stead, to face your punishment. I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. God is on your side. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Message Bible says it beautifully. It says, God has already made His peace with you. God has declared Himself your friend. Now He says, be God's friend. Be a friend of God. Not fear God. Reverence. But be a friend. He wants to be your friend. He's reconciled the whole world to Himself. He's not an angry God. I mean, I really get grieved sometimes because I come out of that hellfire and damnation preaching, turn or burn, all that nonsense. I smell it a mile away because I was there. Try and get people to serve God through condemnation and guilt. No. We love Him because He first loved us. And what life is better than a life with God? This is not a religion. This is a relationship. That's what Jesus came to give you, to say, I'm with you. I am for you. I don't just want to get you to heaven. I want to walk you through your through life. I want to help you calm your storms. I'm the friend that sticks closer than a brother. How can people not want this amazing God in their lives? I don't know. Because the first time my eyes opened, I said, God, this is what I've been looking for. Not alcohol, not racism, not beating up on people, not relationships. This is what I've been looking for. You. Because you changed me. Nothing else will. Not all the fame in the world, all the success, all the acclaim. Because the day you're no longer in that position, you'll find how lonely life can become. That there is nobody that cheers you on. So you want something else and something different in your life. You want a relationship with God. You want to know this amazing God who sent His Son to die for you 2,000 years ago.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Art.
Say, Lord Jesus, today I give myself back to you. I open my heart and I invite you to take your rightful place, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I believe you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose from the grave. Please save me. Forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for a fresh start and a new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.